Invite you to turn to Luke chapter 12. We'll be starting in verse 32 and go to 48. And Luke chapter 12 has three parables around the same theme. Extended words from Jesus about anxiety, about fear, and not having fear, and about his second coming, about looking to our hearts and where are we engaging? What is it that is affecting us most deeply? And looking to him and the reality of his coming as we wait. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. May God bless the reading, hearing, and teaching of his holy word. Jesus is not after your money. Jesus is after your heart allegiance. It's just that your treasures, your money, and how you steward that is the earthly indicator of where your heart is. This passage comes immediately after this long passage where Jesus talks about, do not be anxious. I mean, just look at the lilies of the field. And Solomon, King Solomon in all his glory doesn't even compare to the beauties and glories of the lilies of the field. And they're here today and gone tomorrow. He says, don't worry. Your Father knows what you need. And he loves to give you what you need, when you need it, how you need it. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom, and all these things, everything that you need, will be added unto you. So Jesus is, again, using language and words and items that we understand and are easy to recognize. But he comes at these and wants us to consider them as if we are living in a different world. Okay, money and possessions and treasures and kingdom, masters and servants. We know what all those words are, what they mean, but Jesus wants us to view them as they are temporal, temporary things, and regard them with eternity in mind. So he's talking about steadiness. He's talking about perseverance, a long obedience in the same direction. Beware then, he says, of the enemies of your soul that subtly kill one tiny bite at a time. Jesus is using these stark language, these stark, strong warnings, and also very strong encouragements to help us examine ourselves and to keep us in the fight of faithful stewardship as his servants. Okay, so we'll look at this under three headings. There's an outline there in your bulletin. Watch the creation, watch yourselves, and watch the master servant. First, watch the creation. Look at it, fearlessly receiving. Everything the creation has is given to it. After talking about the birds and the flowers, Jesus says, look at them, watch them, see them as a living example of the perfect provision that the Creator provides to the creation. Okay. And then, verse 32, Jesus calls us an animal name. He calls us little flock. He wants us to see him as the good shepherd caring for his sheep. Fearlessly receiving from the perfect provider. Fear not, he says, because just as everything is given to the creation, all of nature is dependent upon the Creator, so are you. So are you, totally dependent on whatever the Creator chooses to give you, whatever it is that you receive from him. When you feel that fear creep in, are we going to have enough? Are we going to run out? Look again at the creation so that you can have this fearless receiving. But it's not just fearless receiving that makes you lazy. See, no. Fearless receiving that makes you work. Okay? Watch the creation. They work and they receive, right? The birds don't sit in their nest all day long. Okay? The lilies of the field don't just close off and sit there. They move themselves in the direction of the sun so they can receive the nourishment, turn it into photosynthesis and all that chemical stuff. That receiving makes you then work in a response to the receiving, so that then giving away your possessions is evidence to you of your sheep-like dependence on the Good Shepherd. I am not dependent on myself. If I was, I would be hoarding. I would be grabbing and getting and keeping and building bigger barns in order to make sure that I provide for myself. So Jesus says, no, give stuff away, so that you glory in being a dependent creature of a benevolent Creator. Yes, these things are treasures. That's why giving away is both a joy and a war. Okay. This thing that is trying to consume me, this thing that is trying to take over my soul, has no power over me. And so I joyously give it away. I give it away so that I demonstrate to myself it has no power over me. I wage war against materialism, against consumerism, and building up bigger barns. They are treasures, but they are not treasures for this world. Jesus says, store up your treasures, yes, for another world, using the word treasures in a way that only Christians can understand it. See? You are storing up treasures, but they're not earthly treasures. When the Holy Spirit gives you eyes to see, there's no such thing as hidden treasure. You love those treasure hunts and treasure seeking, and oh, wow, are they going to find the treasure? Jesus is saying the treasures are in the wide open. They're not hidden. I give them to you abundantly every single day. Just look at the creation. They fearlessly receive treasures, provisions. And that's how I care for you. Watch the creation, then watch yourselves, and watch yourselves be alive and working. Verse 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And where your heart is where you will be working. Okay? What your heart is in allegiance to, what your heart has attached itself to, that's what you focus on. That's what you're building. That's what you're prospering and managing and patching up and trying to keep going forward. See? And Jesus is saying, stay awake. Stay alive. I am coming. I am coming. I know it seems like I'm delayed. I know it's a long time in my coming, but he is coming. And Jesus knows how stupefying worldliness is. Okay? The slide, the ever imperceptible slide towards what was once preposterous can then become part of us, especially in this area of materialism and how much is enough and how much is not too much. And so watch yourselves has two meanings. Okay? There's the warning of watch yourselves, and there's the blessing of watch yourselves. First, the warning. The warning really is watch out. It's a warning. Hell is for real. Judgment is real. Judgment upon the house of God, upon the church. These are people who are servants of the household, who claim to be in allegiance with the king, claim to be serving his kingdom. But are they truly with the master? Or are they in it for themselves? For their own kingdom? And this warning about watching out has two aspects of it, both associated with the long wait. Okay? There's the comfort, and then there's the anger. Jesus wants us to be warned about the comfort side. Be warned about too much comfort. Being ready and staying awake. What does it look like to stay awake? Well, for one obvious thing, it means avoiding falling asleep. Right? I had an opportunity one time. I was asked to be a substitute teacher for an eighth grade class. And good experience, and I went in and had the lesson plan and was ready to teach the class. And just a few minutes into the class, a kid that was sitting on the front row, I was just amazed how he did this, had his eyes open the whole time, but this glazed over look, and he was completely out of it. Okay. But his eyes open, wasn't falling asleep. And I could have gone up to him and offered him $25 just to say, if you blink, I'll give you $25. But he couldn't have done it. He was gone. He had removed himself from the room, but he was still present, right? I'm sure it was my tremendous teaching. This sometimes happens during sermons too. What was he doing? By his own willful decision, he had decided that the topic was of no use to him. And he just removed himself. There was too much pain or effort associated with listening, associated with absorbing, associated with taking it in and applying it to his life. So he checked out. Jesus is warning us about the lulling to sleep that materialism can do. And it is one of the easiest things to deny. Loving the master because of his things can be your God and can be a substitute God for the one true God. And you can easily not know it and even vehemently deny it. But at least for this passage, consider it. At least take this warning to heart. When I have this, then I'll be content. When I get to this level of economic prosperity, then I'll cease worrying. Then I'll cease striving so hard. Do you have a loose grip on your possessions? Or do you have a tight grip so that your possessions possess you? Can you easily give away things of value that God has given you? Sell your possessions and give to the needy and store up your treasures. And this is not an income level issue. Okay, well, if only I had the income level that they did. No, it's a heart issue, no matter what your income level is. Materialism is stupefying. It can lull you to sleep so that the enemy can break in and steal. If you fall asleep, you will be stolen from. The warning of this kind of sleep that is induced by too much comfort, even while you are in the master's house. Okay, the second warning. Comfort is the first. The second warning is watch out for your anger. Look at the verse 45, servant. The verse 45 servant is very angry. What makes you angry? What causes you to react in anger? Who do you take your anger out on? Who is it directed towards and why? Seeking your heart's satisfaction in worldly treasures can do both of these things to you. It can lead you to either comfortable sleepiness, which results in just a lazy neglect of your resources, or it can lead you to angry, abusive consumption. Now this, watch yourselves, right? There's a warning of too much comfort and bewaring of your anger. The blessing side of watch yourselves is verse 38. See those servants who are awake and working, even during the second shift and the third shift. Okay. Blessed are those servants. And what I mean by watch yourselves is watch yourselves. Watch yourselves working and rejoice in it. Delight in it. Not to give yourself just a pat on the back that I'm doing a good job and I'm falling in line and I'm performing well. Beware of that. No. But to give you assurance that you are a real servant of the King. That you're not just in this for yourself and building up your own kingdom. See? The verse 45 servant, he's been in it all along for himself. He's in the kingdom, but he has a watchful eye watching for the king to turn his face away Maybe when the master's not looking, then I can get into his glorious meat locker and his top shelf liquor cabinet. And I can beat up the rest of these servants whom I hate because they actually love the king. Don't be a verse 45 servant, be a verse 37 servant. The master finds you awake and working. So watch the creation and fearlessly receive. Watch yourselves awake and working. And then finally, watch the master servant extravagantly serving. Now this is lavish, it's excessive, it's over the top, it's outrageous. The master servant in verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. Jesus will put on servant's clothes himself. Okay. Jesus will prepare a meal for us, have us come in and sit down and serve us when he comes again. Jesus is fulfilling Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. And therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. I was watching an old movie recently, and it had these fabulously rich people who had innumerable servants waited on hand and foot, and the servants are pretty much invisible to the rich people, except when they need food or need something to drink, or they're bringing the children in and out to see the parents while they take care of the children. And the rich people, of course, lorded it over the servants. They had these clear, bright lines between the social classes. Well, Jesus rips these down. Jesus walks right through the barriers as if they don't exist at all, because they don't in the kingdom of heaven. So that this is another place in the Bible where it hits you, let it hit you. This sounds too good to be true. Does Jesus know who I am and what I've done and what I deserve? And how I've failed, and this is what he's going to do for his faithful servants. I deserve judgment, but I get this. I get grace. He's going to serve me. Grace is amazing as you realize what a wretch you are. The more you know your wretchedness, the more his grace has triumphed in your life. So you see what Jesus is doing? He's giving you the deepest fire of motivation for working, for staying awake, for persevering, for giving away your possessions, for building up his kingdom and dying to your own kingdom. See? It's sometimes talked about, this idea of downsizing. Jesus means for you to upsize. Way, way up. Downsizing is way too easy and simplistic. But if you look at verse 32, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Talk about upsizing. It's a wisdom-saturated upsizing that he is calling us to. How can you shrewdly benefit the kingdom while still living and working in the world? See? And talk about adventure. Talk about fun. See? giving in a way that your right hand doesn't even know what your left hand is doing, anonymously, at least to yourself, see, that you are benefiting the kingdom and bringing this crazy joy to yourself. I get to do this. It's not me that God does this through me. He blesses other people and expands his kingdom through me and the things that I fearlessly receive from him. So that your giving is an assault on the gods of materialism and consumerism. And giving great benefit to the needy. And by the way, putting treasure for yourself in heaven for you. This is what God does. And on top of that, he will come and serve me in the kingdom. Yes. Yes, give me some more of that. And then look at the last part of the passage, verse 48. Everyone to whom much was given, much will be required. Would you just look on, just gaze on, meditate on what you have been given? Let it make you tremble. Over the privilege and over the responsibility. You have been given much. You have been entrusted with much. All of us are trust fund babies. Okay. Simply by being in the church, we have been entrusted with so much knowledge, so much experience, so much celebration, so much joy, so many tastes of the kingdom. So we cannot use ignorance to avoid judgment. Verses 47 and 48 are real about the judgments of hell. But this speaks to Peter's question in verse 41. Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? Well, the answer is yes and yes. Anyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus, that's who this is for. All of it. Everyone who claims to be his follower. But you look again at the great encouragement that comes from being, or from seeing verse 37. Look again at the master servant. Let this picture of this future reality of Jesus' extravagant love on display towards us. He'll be in action towards us, his children. Serving us, let that picture be the one that is always before you, that motivates you to what he's telling Peter is normal Christian service. This is not radical what Jesus is saying. This is what a normal Christian responds and does. Sells his possessions, gives to the needy, glories in being a conduit of his kingdom to a broken world, just as his grace has conduited through Christ to you. It'll just overflow supernaturally by the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, then we ask that you, by your Spirit, would enable these things. You would enable us to receive fearlessly from you, to watch ourselves working as you give us grace to respond to what we've received, and Lord, to overflow in confident giving as we look to you, the master servant who serves us so abundantly and will one day serve us in the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.